Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the message that you have given in for us today. Pray that you would open our eyes and our hearts to receive it and speak to us through your servant Ian. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Christopher. Sorry about the reading all being squashed up on one screen. I don't quite know why that happened, but there we go. See if we can sort it out afterwards. I want to say something today about welcoming everyone into church and indeed into Christian faith. Over the past year or so, we've had the whole gay marriage debate going on. I guess you've been aware of that, haven't you? And in the middle of that, there've been a lot of allegations about the church, that the church has been excluding people or offending people or prejudiced against people and so on. I think a lot of it is a bit of a misunderstanding or perhaps a lack of understanding. But to take one example, Vicky Beeching is a Christian singer-songwriter who recently announced that she's gay. And she said that over the years she's suffered a great deal of rejection in the church. Sally Hitchener and Vaughan Roberts are vicars who've suffered similarly. Sally Hitchener is chaplain at Brunel University. She was my daughter's chaplain for a while when she was there. Vaughan Roberts is the vicar of St. Ebb's Church in Oxford. Now, none of these are in a relationship. They're not being accused of any wrong behaviour or anything. They're simply stating, this is my orientation. This is the sort of natural attraction that I feel. Now, I guess it's possible that there are some insensitive Christians who might say to a newcomer, you're not welcome in this church, or something like that. I can remember in a previous parish, I can remember a PCC discussion about whether we should have baptisms in church on a Sunday morning in the main service. And one redoubtable elderly lady piped up. She said, well, who are all these people anyway coming into our church? Not really the right attitude. We want to be welcoming newcomers in, don't we? And as I read my Bible, Jesus welcomed all who came to him. And he welcomed particularly people who were the outcasts of society. He challenged them, yes. Occasionally he had some quite harsh things to say to the scribes, the Pharisees, the teachers of the law and so on, for example. But do you remember the story when he sat down by the well in Samaria and the woman came to the well and she was a woman who'd already had five husbands, I think, and was now living with a man who wasn't her husband. Jesus was kind to her. He welcomed her. To the woman caught in adultery and who was about to be stoned, Jesus, in effect, defended her from those who were accusing her. The sinful woman who poured perfume over his feet and wiped his feet with her hair. He told her she was forgiven. As his disciples, when he chose his disciples, he chose Simon the Zealot, probably in his day a bit of a terrorist. He chose a tax collector, Matthew, who was undoubtedly hated and despised by a lot of Jewish society. He chose Judas Iscariot, who was probably a bit of a hothead himself, and who, of course, as we know, betrayed Jesus in the end. None of these were respectable people. Jesus chose some of the dregs of society. He also spoke very easily to those who were on the top rung of society, the high priest and Pontius Pilate and so on. He moved easily up and down the ranks of society, but he seems to have had a bias towards the outcasts, the underdogs, those who'd already received short shrift, those who had a hard deal from society already. So I think there's a principle in the Christian faith that we are to welcome people. We're to welcome everybody, but to challenge behaviour. One church minister, Sharon Ferguson, was actually the CEO of the lesbian and gay Christian movement. She put it like this. In the Church Times, she was writing, she said, "All people are welcome to my church, but not all behaviours are welcome. God loves us all, but we don't all behave very well." I think she put that rather well. Actually, I wish she'd phrased it just slightly differently. We all don't behave very well. Because our human temptation is to distinguish, isn't it, between sins. I heard a lady say the other day, well, he was unfaithful, but at least he didn't murder anybody. We sort of have a ranking, don't we, of human behaviour. But in God's eyes, we are all sinners. Romans 3:23 says this, "There is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Notice that first phrase, there's no difference. There's no distinction, for all have sinned. We're all in the same boat together. We are loved, we're greatly loved by God, but we don't behave well in God's sight. I think actually for parents it's a good principle with children. Trying not to say, "You're bad," say instead, "What you did was bad." Not, "You're stupid," but, "What you said then was a bit stupid. I love you, but don't do that." Now, I know children sometimes try and manipulate a bit, don't they? Making the connection again. Well, if you love me, you give me what I want. I've heard that occasionally. But I think we have to resist that manipulation. In the Middle East, you hear something quite similar to that. For example, if you criticize Israel's actions, then you must be anti-Semitic. Some commentators have called that sort of thing the nuclear option, because it's a big threat, like the nuclear deterrent. And in the sexuality debate, you hear something a bit similar. If you disapprove of gay behavior, then you must be homophobic, meaning here, of course, a hatred of gay people, a prejudice rather than a morbid fear or phobia of anything. But again, it's the nuclear option, isn't it? Your view is ruled out of court. So here's a question. Is there any person, is there any category of person who we shouldn't welcome in through that church door? Think about that for a moment. I don't think so. I mean, just possibly those who are teaching something against the Christian faith, those who are, if you like, leading people astray. But I think in general terms, Christ welcomed everybody, and so should we. I find actually when people approach the church, when people approach me as vicar, when they're thinking about coming to faith, they're often very, very nervous. One of their chief anxieties is fear of rejection. Will I be judged unworthy? I'm quite tempted to put a sign on the door saying, "Sinners only." Because actually that's what we should be for, isn't it? We're all unworthy. None of us match up to God's perfect standard. Which behaviour do we challenge? That's a tougher question, isn't it? When do we challenge it? That's quite a hard issue to work out. Because we run the risk of offending people when we challenge their behaviour. Perhaps we want to draw them closer to God. Perhaps we want to help them to be more like Christ. But I think the bigger issue is to admit that we're all sinners, every single one of us. God knows that, perhaps better than we do. That was the message of our first reading, Psalm 139, that God knows us from conception, from the womb, right through our lives. He knows us intimately. And his invitation is to all people. Jesus welcomed sinners, and so should we, so should the church. The church in Britain over the past year or so particularly is acquiring a bit of a reputation in society for being against things and objecting to things and perhaps even being prejudiced against things. And therefore I think welcoming people is actually the key thing we need to present at this time. Welcoming all kinds of people, everybody. Let's just be quiet for a moment and pray that in.